Welcome back to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Knox, and your host on the phone right now is Mr. Tom Hill. He is an expert in commercial real estate, holding the CCIM and SIOR designations. And we're going to talk a little bit about this announcement of about Macy's leaving the Brass City, Brass Mill Center Mall, as well as the Crystal Mall in Waterford, as a part of a closing of a number of stores across the country. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Sounds like that good music. Sounds like the Macy's wagon train is leaving town.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate, but it's really not surprising. I mean, you and I have had this conversation a couple of times over the last few years with this. You know, malls are struggling, and in the past year, they have been obviously with the pandemic having even more difficulties in getting people out and shopping and stuff. But what does this mean for the future of malls?
It's something that's been being talked about for years, even before the COVID. The malls, the super strong malls in major metropolitan areas with lots of demographics and younger people, and lots of commerce with office workers, etc. Those are still pretty much holding up. But any of the B or C minus malls have been having trouble right along, and the COVID has just really put the another nail in the alleged coffin. So the mall people are trying to find alternative uses for these boxes. And somebody like Macy's are closing unprofitable stores so they have more resources for the good stores.
And Macy's has a huge footprint over at Brass Mill. Sears had a huge footprint over at the mall, and they still haven't filled in the space where Sears left. Do you think that there are other retailers or other businesses out there that could fill a space like this, or are they going to have to basically retool that entire space?
It's going to depend on how and when COVID is maybe not ended, but under control, because even the big retailers that are opening stores, they're only opening stores in primary markets. Waterbury's a tertiary city, meaning third tier. You know, it's going to be problematic. And you mentioned Penny's. Penny's got bought out. They have another giant footprint, and they got bought out by their landlords. A group of landlords bought them out to keep them in the malls. So this is an ongoing troublesome situation, and I don't think we've seen the last of troubles in the retail or the commercial real estate market or anything tied to this economy because of this devastating pandemic.
And again, you and I have had this conversation for years, even going back to when we did the Saturday show together, and we talked about the impact of the internet and Amazon on these brick and mortars. It's companies like Sears, you would have thought, would have been out there in the forefront of that since they were kind of the inventors of the mail order business. Macy's never really embraced an online presence. But even if they were to embrace an online presence or were to capitalize on the internet successfully, it still probably would have hurt them in the brick-and-mortar space.
Without question. It's a completely changing world. And, Steve, you're a techie. If you don't change quickly and be ready for it, and whether if you're going to be ready for it, you're going to increase overhead, hire more people, put more computers on. And if you're not ready for it, you're going to cut overhead and lay people off and slim down in order to try to make it. And to your point, the major department store that you just mentioned didn't embrace this wave, and now they're paying the price for it.
So we've seen some successful transitions. The Kmart over in Watertown was able to succeed. When they pulled out of there, the landlords there were able to successfully kind of retool that space for a bunch of smaller vendors and were, I guess, pretty successful in getting those vendors in, right?
Well, the jury's still out on that. That, as real estate is an it's an illiquid asset, and it takes time. So that Kmart thing has been going on for a couple years. The developer has probably dropped in there a million or more to do that subdivision. And now some of the tenants, I think Universal Fitness, an auto parts store, healthcare, they're just starting to move in there. So the jury is out. It'll be another couple of years to see that thing is really full and that these customers are still making it. And even that job, yes, on the surface, it looks very, I don't think it's going to be wicked profitable because he had to put a lot of money in and he had to give reasonable prices on the rents. But, will the property be successful again long term? Probably. But I think then again, It's still tied to COVID, how many people are exercising. The auto parts store that's moving in there is a Napa's franchise from Watertown on Main Street. He's already successful. But, you know, there's so much competition in the auto parts business. And then when you mix in the COVID, and are people really buying everything or just buying what they need? So even on that Kmart thing, while it looks great on the surface, the jury is still out on it. But, you know, the way you're putting it is the way most people see it. I see it a little differently because I know the time lag and the money that has to be spent to repurpose these properties.
Well, that's why we have you on, because you do have that kind of inside information. And, you know, as we outsiders look at things like this, you know, you're the, as I like to refer to it, the SME in this particular situation, the subject matter expert. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you only got me because Donald Trump's in so much trouble now he can't do radio interviews.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was the first person we reached out to. Mm-hmm. No, and again, you know, we kind of we're treading on a common ground, you know, or ground that we've walked on before here with this topic. But I want to go back and sort of talk a little bit about, you know, what's happening over where I live in Meriden. There's two kind of shopping plazas, not really malls, but shopping plazas, one on the east side, one on the west side, that the one on the west side has been anchored by a Stop and Shop for many, many years. And then it has a number of little, like, small storefronts. It's got a little Family Dollar store in there. It's got, like, a little little dentist and a Chinese place, Chinese food place. But there's a couple of – but half of this is empty because there's also another huge footprint store that used to be, I guess, 25 years ago, used to be, like, an Ocean State or something like that.
Right.
And that's been empty for 25 years. And – on the east side of town, there is the former Lowe's. Well, it's the Lowe's Plaza, still referred to as the Lowe's Plaza, but the Lowe's isn't there anymore and hasn't been there for 10 to 12 years. They have an Ocean State but and a liquor store and maybe one or two other stores, but half of that is empty as well. And it just – I always wonder, you know, how can you leave a piece of property that size empty? And I know it's difficult. How can you, A, leave it empty for 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, and yet maintain that property overall? And then in the case of the one on the west side where they're losing the Stop and Shop, I mean, that's the death knell for that little shopping center.
Well, if they lose the Stop and Shop, they're done. Are they?
It's gone. Yes, it's already gone.
No, that's it. Because grocery anchored is the only successful shopping plazas left. And some of the malls have been lucky enough to get a grocery store or an inexpensive retailer like Walmart, which they never wanted them in the past because the anchors didn't want them. But if you go back to your story in Meriden and you do title searches on these properties, they're probably owned by lenders. If they're really lucky, depending on how long Super Stop and Shop is gone, sometimes the tenants are still paying the rent. I doubt Lowe's is over that many years. And you think you said that was on the east side.
Yeah.
But even looking at that Lowe's, that was not right at highway ramps, and properties that are positioned further away from the highway ramps and don't have enough rooftops in the area suffer. And with this downturn in the economy, and Connecticut, you said yesterday how we're, or yesterday or the day before on Talk of the Town, you were talking about how Connecticut is last in many categories for economy, et cetera. Third-tier markets, Waterbury's a third-tier market. Most of Connecticut is a third-tier market, except maybe Hartford, Stamford, Bridgeport possibly. But you need to have lots of people working. You need to be near the highway, and you have to have a vibrant economy for these stores to keep hanging on and hopefully in a growth mode.
So what happens if these places fail? I mean, how long can this – I think you know the property I'm talking about on the west side. How long do you think it can last without somebody filling that grocery store space?
Well, they won't last. They'll be handed back to the lenders, or the towns will take them for taxes, depending on the strength of the owners and whether they walk away or not. And this is why you're seeing Wall Street for the last 2 years putting together all these problem asset funds where they want to go out and buy properties for nothing – and try to repurpose them. But again, even those people that are buying problem assets, they're only buying them if they think they have a way to turn them around. And it also depends on, you know, the economy in the town they are. Is it a major market? Is it a secondary market? Is it a tertiary market? It's economics 101 multiplied by the amount of millions they have to put in and the amount of millions that they have to buy it, then the millions they need to repurpose it, and then who are the tenants, and your Kmart story just a minute ago shows that there are some tenants for the Kmart in Watertown, as the gym, the auto parts, and who are the retailers that are still out there that people need something from every day, and the competition isn't brutal on the internet.
It's also got to cause a bit of a pressure on places like this Kmart we're talking about and the Brass Mill Mall and everybody else who's going to have all of this empty retail space, because now they're all, you know, it's glutting the market with all of this space. The competition to get somebody to come in, maybe a bigger store to be an anchor, or maybe break it down into smaller little footprints, smaller stores, smaller opportunities, yes. However they do it. But the competition for these businesses to come in is going to be huge as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you always have to pay attention to who's coming where. The Brass Mill Center has been saying that they had a bunch of 25,000-foot tenants. Every now and then I have Tim McMahon on with me, and he'll tell me, he told me 2 years ago that the Sears was the Sears anchor at the Brass Mill Center was going to have four or five 25,000-foot tenants, and needless to say, they probably all had plans for them, but this COVID is a death knell for retail and many businesses, and people don't have the confidence, and until this virus really gets going, vaccine for the virus really gets going, that's going to be a problem. That's going to take up the rest of this year, especially based on the fact that they're not rolling it out quick enough. And then the changing face of retail, you mentioned Amazon, the big gorilla. With the changing face of retail, there's people have a lack of confidence. So if you do have any stores, you're hanging on the best you can. And if you're a single person with a little business, you're trying to, you know, reduce your overhead, or at least try to understand where is your future and adjust to it by the merchandise you're selling, by the people you're hiring, the way you're marketing yourself. It's really a challenge.
Well, and it's this idea of creative destruction, and I think you and I have talked about this in the past, where there people are coming up with different ideas on how to market themselves and how to run their businesses. Instead of having these big monstrous footprints, they're shrinking them down. They're doing more service-oriented businesses. They're delivering their services to the customer instead of waiting for the customer to come in. We're kind of like in an era where these malls are almost like buggy whips. You know, they're just They're getting phased out, I think, and it's going to be really difficult for the municipalities where they're located.
Without question. But the mall operators have big money behind them, and they can afford to do adaptive reuse. And you're seeing warehouse distribution centers go in these malls because the anchors have high ceilings and they can rack really, really high. You're seeing medical companies go into the malls, and the mall people, they're usually pretty well capitalized, and they're also able to go to Wall Street for more new money if they have the right tenants. So the economic development directors in these towns are going to have to really also be on the stick trying to help find users for these vacant spaces. And obviously when you got two of those in Meriden, you say, oh, geez, what is the economic development and the political class doing to help these landlords get their spaces? Because let's face it, it's not the old days. It's the days where the towns, if they want to collect the taxes, they got to have an active economic development department to keep their tax flow coming in.
Well, and you mentioned like distribution centers and things like that. I mean, you can only have just so many of those. And, you know, when you have, as I mentioned, these two nearly empty shopping plazas in Meriden, I mean, that if one is successful in bringing in, say, a distribution center, that's going to be, you know, what's the other one going to do?
Steve, you're right. These are questions. I read a story this morning about MBA training. You know, what are the right questions to ask, and how do I use critical thinking to make sure I'm making the right decision after the questions I ask? So it's a challenge. Now, I'm also seeing owners if they don't have a tenant for the building, they're knocking them down because the taxes are anywhere from $1 to $6 a square foot per year, which is hefty. So people are knocking buildings down to get off the tax burden and hoping they'll find a new build-to-suit over time. But then again, if people can't make these things work, they either give them back to the lenders they throw the keys on the table. Sometimes they don't even do that. And the towns get them back. I mean, you look at the Mayor O'Leary. He's been one of the most creative mayors in Connecticut by buying properties to try to find a way to use them, or making sure that the wrong people don't get the properties and they make it worse than it already is.
And again, there's that loss of tax revenue to the cities. There's that loss of economic activity to the cities and to the state. I mean, the downstream impact of something like this is devastating and is going to take a long time, I think, to recover from, especially because, look, I like the Brass Mill Center Mall. I've been there a number of times, and I think it's a great place, but they're losing businesses. The movie centers, the movie theater's gone, Macy's is gone, Sears is gone. You know, how much longer, you know, how creative can you get and how much longer can they hold on? Now, you've gone to the ICSC conference a couple of times and have called in from there a few times.
With you, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this is something that has been a topic of conversation at many of those meetings, and you always kind of come out of them with this kind of positive feeling, this positive attitude that they're trying to promote, but it doesn't seem to be happening. It seems like we're kind of still heading in the wrong direction here.
Well, ICSC now is more online. The brokers, the developers, the lenders aren't all getting together to try to transact more business. And again, you can't say it enough that the COVID is a twist we haven't seen before, and it's put a hurt on all this economy. I mean, it's eaten the hotels and the travel business alive. And, you know, the same thing, the hotels are trying to convert their rooms to apartments or to medical centers. But, you know, like you say, how much can you stand? How much competition, how much room, how much absorption is there from all these tenants? And especially when you look at every town now, you look at all around outside of Waterbury. It started with when the brass mills closed, people opened factories and industrial parks all around Waterbury. And now it's gotten to the point with retail. Every town has their own grocery stores, their own retail, and the competition is too much. And this COVID thing and a lousy economy is kind of thinning out the herd.
Well, I think it's interesting because going back to the Lowe's situation, you know, one of the things that Lowe's, I believe, made a huge mistake on was the mistake was not that they opened up across the street from a Home Depot in Wallingford. I thought that was a really good move. But then they went and opened up a Lowe's about 2 miles up the highway. Like, you're just stealing from your own business at that point. You're competing with yourself.
Well, back at the time, there were so many people doing home improvements that they wanted to be near each other. And Lowe's, I think, is a little bit more of an upscale home retailer, home goods, lumber, Home Depot is more towards the contractor and the do-it-yourself guy. So, but that's also changed. I mean, Lowe's closed a lot of stores, and they all have a different model using demographics now where they're going to open. And many of them are just trying to do a good job with what they have, and nobody's opening the stores they used to open. But, you know, Wall Street backed all these people. They could go public. The financing was easy. And now the way things – nobody expected COVID. I can't say that enough times. It's just a shocker. And you really, really got to watch your step. Whether you're working for somebody or you have your own business, you really got to be thinking about resources and which way is the wind blowing and – where are your customers coming, and what's the online competition? It's really a tricky time, and this is really testing the best of us. And then you add the political controversies and the lack of confidence in whether the major institutions of our country can run correctly and protect us and keep us safe. It's very, very challenging right now.
Well, I think those are the words, wise words of wisdom there, because this is definitely a challenging time for everybody. But again, I think this issue with the malls here has been something that was even prior to the COVID outbreak was a serious issue, and this may just be exacerbating those problems. And I know you and I have talked about some success stories around the country where they've converted some malls over to medical spaces, and you know, some malls have all become all different denominations of churches and things like that. But you know, you can only have just so much of that space out there before you do find out that, you know, we're saturated, we're oversaturated. How many more medical offices can we open?
You took the words right out of my mouth. But, you know, with that said, we just have to do the best we can. This is an unfathomable event with the COVID. I had a couple other things I was going to say. Oh, I know, just also while you have me here, and I appreciate it very much, all of us, and even me, I want to thank all the listeners of Hills Gallery in Special Edition Saturday, because I'm not coming back in early January till June this season. I'm going to take a hiatus with this next season for the exact same reasons of what I'm talking about. I'm a transactional broker and have to close things, and I've got a bunch of stuff on my plate, and this COVID has really slowed down the absorption rate and the timing, and I've got to put every bit of my energy into working on my transactions and my clients' properties to keep them afloat. And hence, I've had to make some serious adjustments, and I hate not to come back with Mr. Matt next week until June, but I have no choice but to pull my reins in and work on my own business myself. So even me, like many of you, you got to make the adjustments. You got to make to keep your life going and float your economic boat.
Yep, it's going to take some real creativity here to survive this environment that has been created. And hopefully, we have some really brilliant minds working on this, because it seems like the more we move forward on this, the more we see places like Macy's and JCPenney and so many other big box retailers shutting down these huge, huge footprints and anchors at these malls. The malls are going to be struggling more and more as time goes on.
I don't disagree with you. And a lot of this is happening. And when you talk to Joe Stango, I always enjoy him on the program. He'll say, you know, is there another stimulus plan coming? When is the vaccine going to take effect? And I think the vaccine is probably the key, because people don't have confidence. They're afraid to go out. Who wants to get bit by this this COVID if you can help it? And I've, you know, pulled way back from going out all over the place myself. But, you know, right and left, you got it. You know, people, anybody can get it.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just, it's that infectious,
it's
and it's just,
it's
it truly is.
It's nuts.
Well, Tommy, I appreciate your time and your thoughts on this. I knew we were going to the right person when we thought about talking about this, and your insight has been very helpful. It's, you know, hopefully you're going to be able to sort of survive this, and you'll be working with some very creative minds to figure out some solutions to these problems for all across the Connecticut. And I want to thank you again for all your information.
Well, I want to thank you for working at TomHillRadio.com with me. We'll have some recent shows that people might want to listen to. And if somebody wants to call me about something, no obligation, 203-755-HILL. And I thank you, Steve, and thank you to the newsman, Mr. Fortier, for booking me.
All right, dude. Talk to you soon.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.